the latest news and the opinions that matter from the world of rugby league. The Robbie Hunter Paul Show with Provident Personal Credit.
Yo, kia ora, g'day and good evening. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse One. And the boys are back in town, West Yorkshire, to talk all things rugby league from around the world. In the studio are the loose woman of the rugby league world. It is the Earl, Leon Price, the body, Rob Parker, and myself, yours truly. We'll also speak to Huddersfield Giants assistant coach Chris Thorman ahead of this weekend's derby between the Bulls and the Giants. And we're also on the search for an amateur club of the week. We also want your views, so get in touch through the website at pulse1.co.uk/RHP or use Twitter and hashtag RHP Show. It's Sport Night on Pulse One and we're kicking it off. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show.
The Robbie Hunter Paul Show. News and views.
See what I did there, boys? What's we are that? The loose woman of the rugby league world.
Who's the loosest?
I reckon you are.
There's some eyes being cast around here and they're all looking at everyone else but me.
We're all looking at you.
All right, it's me.
That's the thing. I mean, I don't know any of the actual people that are on the show because we're at work during the day. So, but apparently I've been told and on good advice that we are the loose woman of the rugby league world. I'm taking it as a compliment anyway. Okay, gentlemen, how's it been? Leon,
yes.
You're sitting across the studio.
Yes.
Winking at me with a black eye.
I've always had black eyes.
Well, you got one eye's blacker than the other.
Yeah, it's pretty
little
purple,
bit red shot. You've been bashed up this weekend, haven't you?
As usual, that's one of the reasons why I don't like playing friendlies. I take one ball in and whack. I get a cracked in the eye and I think, for Christ's sake, what's going on?
He was saying that he was touching around his face thinking, oh no, have I been cut?
I've been cut. I've touched my eye. I've been cut. I'm going to have to get an injection in my eye. No. Oh, it's okay. It's not bleeding. I'm all right.
That is not true. That is not true one little bit. He was going, oh, I've been cut. I'm going to get 5 minutes off the field here.
Right.
I'm going to get 10 minutes off the field.
I was feeling a bit sorry for myself on Sunday night, but I'm okay now.
But you got to admit, the cuts that you get above the eyes, you remember we referred to them as designer cuts. Nathan McAvoy used to get them all the time.
Yeah, even he could pull a good scar off as well. That wore me out.
Yeah, man, his scar.
Yeah, it even looked cool doing that.
Every time he got a new scar on his face, it actually made his chest puff out just a little bit more.
To be fair, I did used to like it. It did make me feel a little bit prettier inside.
No, actually, it only works for some. Nate McAvoy, he did get prettier and prettier. It made him look more rugged. Sorry, Rob.
Yeah.
For you, it just made you look more rugged.
What about Diggs?
Diggs, sausage skin.
Yeah.
Paul Deacon, that's who we're talking about, ladies and gentlemen. Former Great Britain International and England International and now assistant coach over at Wigan. He had sausage skin.
Shocking.
I've never seen anyone cut up as much in your life.
Yeah, he used to get a couple, didn't he? He'd had a bad time, Deeks, with his facial injuries.
To be honest, though, it did show you that he was putting his at least face on the line for the boys.
Yeah, I don't know what my excuse was.
So, Leon, let's talk about preseason friendly. Doubleheader, a bit of a strange one for you guys at Hull.
Yep.
Two games to catch up, but you had a doubleheader at Doncaster.
Yeah, we had a doubleheader. We played against York and our younger lads played against Doncaster. We won our game quite convincingly. I think it was like 60 points to nil, which is to be expected really when we're a full-time Super League and half the York, well, all of the York team are part-time.
Games like that, Leon, how much do you actually get out of it, or what were your kind of, you know, objectives looking going into that game? And what were you trying to get out of that kind of a friendly?
I know how you felt beforehand, saying, I mean, did Lee Radford, your head coach, did he catch up on that and say,
No, it was important for me to have a good game. Obviously, we've got some good young players at the club as well, and with it being my first game, so it was important to have a good run out, and I would probably just look into work as hard as I could to see where I'm at fitness level-wise, you know, make a couple of tackles in a row, try and spin...
A couple of tackles in a row?
Yeah.
What about that? Just to see whether or not he could still do it.
I felt really good. I didn't feel game sharp, and my sidestepping probably wasn't where it could be. My speed were
getting older now.
Right foot.
It is a left foot, but he's just telling everyone out there it's a right
double
foot.
Double.
So yeah, on overall scheme of things, it was a good run out. Good for the coach to have a look at combinations in the six and seven, and the younger boys against Doncaster, they did real well as well.
A bit of a strange concept though, wasn't it? Because both Hull teams, you know, travelled to, was it at the Keep Moat Stadium?
Yeah,
and so obviously who played first in that game?
Our younger lads played against Doncaster first.
Oh, you played a tight game as well.
Yeah, really tight game. We were smashing them early doors, and then they came back into it. But we all had a very very young team out.
Doncaster did well last year, obviously promoted, well, for those that don't know, promoted
fourth, didn't they, last year?
Yeah, promoted the year before, so to come from promotion and to finish in the top four, massive stride forward for them. Paul Cook, their coach, former Hull FC lad and Hull KR, Hull lad through and through.
Yep.
Young player that made some real strides forward last year, Abdul, actually got the winning drop goal for the young Hull team.
Well, obviously he's playing standoff as well, which is obviously my position, so
he's like a front rower though.
Yeah, he's a big lad, and if he can keep on top of his weight, I think he could be a standoff for Hull for the next 10 years.
You got that sort of talent.
He's just a natural rugby player. He just reads the game.
Okay, so let's look at it a different way. Obviously a young player with some natural talent, you have even given him your seal of approval. Is that good for you as a senior player who probably will have his position solidified to have those younger players nipping at your heels?
Well, already this week it's making me think about my game against Hull KR we play on Sunday, and thinking about myself, making sure that I'm on tip-top shape to be able to, you know, prove why I've been if I get chosen for
get
my position.
Get those big dollars.
So, well, not the big dollars, just playing every week rather than being sat in stand and watching somebody else play. I want to make sure that I tie my position down. So I think it's healthy for me and healthy for him and the club.
I mean, that's what you've been brought in to do, to lead from the front, isn't it?
Exactly.
You've got that years and years and so many years of experience on your side. Let's just have a look at some of the other matches that were that took place over the course of the weekend, looking at being West Yorkshire directly. Dewsbury beat Salford Reds. A great step forward for Dewsbury. By all means, it was a young Salford team that came in, but Dewsbury had the dominance over there, 28 points to 12. Halifax beat a young Hull KR team, but they also did have quite a number of a splash of first team players in the squad. So a great win for Halifax there, beating them 46 points to 16. Really interesting game. The other one, Wakefield beating Featherston, 34 points to 20. Both teams put out a very strong squad, and there was only 14 points in it. Obviously, hard to gauge, but Featherston is one of the clubs that will be competing for that top four position in the championship this year. Your thoughts on that one, guys?
I think, Featherston, they've acquired Paul Wood, haven't they, this week? So that's something. I don't want to steal too much thunder, but Featherston have always been probably the most consistent championship team.
Well, let's talk about Paul Wood. I mean, we've got a lot to discuss tonight. For those that don't know, Paul Wood walked out on Warrington. We'll come to agreed terms with to leave Warrington last year after 16 years. After 16 years, and that's a big call to spend that amount of time with one club. But he then, within the space of a couple of days, agreed terms with Featherston and he didn't play, but he was lined up to play in that game against Wakefield over the course of the weekend.
Yeah, it's a strange one, really. I thought Woody would have then ended up, kind of seeing his career.
You played with him, haven't you, Rob?
Yeah, I played with him my 3 year stint at Warrington, and knowing Paul Wood, relatively well, and he's put his heart and soul into Warrington, and you would have thought that he's only got a year or two left in him. You'd have thought he'd have stayed at Warrington and saw his days out and been a one club man.
But you got to think of it from the athlete's point of view, and very similar to this Gerard element. Are you happy when you're a competitor, when you're at the top line of any sport? You want to be on the field playing. Now, if you ever look at Warrington over the past 2 years and who they've recruited, Anthony England's taken the step up from the championship, and he's coming on in leaps and strides, a big project for Tony Smith himself. Then you've got Roy Asatasi, who came from down under, a former New Zealand and Samoan international, and then you've got Ashton Sims, who they signed during the offseason,
and Chris Hill.
And Chris Hill, you've got, just looking at the last couple of years, Hill has really planted himself as a firm favourite within that front row. Yeah. Is he going to play? And I think that's one of the toughest things for you as a professional athlete. Am I going to get field time? If I'm not going to get field time, am I better off being somewhere else?
And let's be honest, we play rugby league, we don't play football, we're in a business where we've got to keep working. as long as we can to earn the money. I mean, most of us are going to be in a position, well, not many of us are going to be in a position when we retire, we can just stop playing and just stop working altogether. We all have got to get do as well as we can for as long as we can. So probably another reason why, for the cash and to look after his family and pay a mortgage, that he's got to go and play at another
club.
You're
right. Our professional rugby league players now, we'll pick them up at 16 years of age. We'll take them through our academy system. We'll teach them. They'll be experts in rugby league, but come to the back end of their careers, that's what they are, expert in playing the game of rugby league. Only thing they can then move on to is either into the coaching regime, because that's still within that environment. Or actually, what is the rest? What is that other skill set? If they haven't prepared, then we're going to struggle. Oh, actually, yeah. Maybe radio punditry. Eh?
Yeah,
working on Pulse One and
for free.
I'm not sure it's going to pay the mortgage, is it?
Robbie, unfortunately, I didn't get a chance to go over to the Bradford Castleford game for Andy Lynch's testimonial. Obviously, you went. What are your thoughts on the game?
Great game. Obviously, there was a little bit of controversy before the game kicked off because a section of the stadium actually fell down in the high winds that we have. So there was a bit of concern as to whether or not the game was going to go on. All credit to the Castleford administration team. They locked off that side of the stadium, so they basically just locked that down and they opened up through their other three sides. There was a great turnout. Both Bulls fans and Castleford fans turned out in fantastic form for Andy Lynch. I think there was over 4,000 supporters. The game itself was absolutely brilliant. It was a bit nervous for me because obviously coming into it, we've got such a new squad, the Bradford Bulls, with I think 13 debutants were playing in the game itself. And it was a matter of getting that first exposure to see how they fit within the system. I got to say, by half time, when the Bulls were leading at that point in time, for me personally, I had seen enough. There was a lot of talent, there was a lot of strike force. The systems that Jimmy Lowe's has implemented, defenses on the edges, they were all working cohesively together. I was pleasantly surprised because, taking into account that was their first knockout, and obviously you guys will both know that sometimes the rhythm and flow and cohesion and you know the relationships, the little partnerships that you're creating, there's a lot to build on, and I think that was what was promising. Castleford themselves performed brilliantly, very tough forward pack. They got a grip of the game by the second half. They forced Bradford to make quite a few mistakes when Bradford had obviously shifted up their squad and started rolling the numbers out, and they were able to come back in the end. And it was a really good tussle between the two squads.
Just looking at the score, obviously Cass won 22-14. Now, you said that by half time you felt, you know, pleasantly confident that you saw enough that you had to see, you know, from the lads in the first half. Do you think that that's a win for Bradford, only being 8 points down by Cass? Or taking into consideration 13 brand new players that, you know, took to the field, you know, the second half in a friendly game, Jimmy's going to try different kind of techniques, try different personnel in different areas to get a look at them. Is that a plus thing from a Bradford perspective?
I think if you ask everyone when you're playing, unless you win the game, it's not a win.
Okay.
But from my own personal point of view, what I wanted to see from the squad, definitely 100%. I saw a lot of talent there.
Who stood out for you the most?
There was a group of players. Jake Mullaney at fullback, Harry Syker, obviously Lee Gaskell, led from the front all season long last year.
And that's been good to see, hasn't it, that he's carried on and kicked on with that.
100%. And actually, he kind of grabbed their leadership mantle. Shev Walker, again, busy as usual. Big 6'6" Samir Tarui. He really did catch my eye as well, and he's a big unit.
He will do at 6'6".
6'6", yeah. But his work weight was absolutely brilliant. So, you know, loads to work with and loads to grow from. Not the finished article by any means, but I'm looking forward to this local derby this weekend against Huddersfield. So, you know, obviously, boys, we've got loads to talk about and catch up on, including introducing or speaking to Huddersfield Giants assistant coach Chris Thorman. We'll also be covering the sports hot topics and just chewing the fat. All that and more coming up after this break. So stay with us here on Pulse One.
The Robbie Hunter Paul Show with Provident, a Yorkshire business since 1880.
Pulse One. The latest news and the opinions that matter from the world of rugby league. The Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse One.
Hey, West Yorkshire, Robbie Hunter Paul here, and we're talking rugby league every Wednesday evening here on Pulse One. Now, remember, if you want to get in touch and throw us a question, you can contact us on pulse1.co.uk or on Twitter, just hashtag RHP Show. So let's talk Giants, and let's do it with the Huddersfield Giants assistant coach, Chris Thorman. Spooky, how you doing, pal?
Good evening, Rob. I'm good. How are you, mate?
Very good, buddy. Very good. How was Christmas? Have a good time?
Good, mate. Actually, yeah, visited my daughter, Georgia, in America, in Washington, D.C., for 10 days or so. So we had a great time together.
So how do the Americans celebrate Christmas?
Oh, extravagantly, as you can imagine.
Over the top. Go all out.
Mate, actually, it's, the misconception about turkey. Turkey's the big thing on Thanksgiving in America, and we always traditionally had a rib roast in America, so... I know we obviously traditionally eat turkey in England, but it's turkey on Thanksgiving and roast beef on Christmas Day in America. So no complaints from me. I do like red meat.
So I'm guessing you embarrassed yourself. You sat down at the dinner table and demanded some turkey.
I did make that mistake the first time about 10 years ago, but not now. I'm a cultured man now. I know what the deal is.
That's brilliant, mate.
I'm not sure about that actually.
How the preparations been going for you guys over at the Giants?
Yeah, really, really well, mate. Obviously, we've been at it for a good couple of months now, and the boys are chomping at the bit. They're ready for a game. We've done a fair few opposed sessions against the academy, which has been great. With our academy boys, they're now full time, so that makes quite a difference to the first team preparations too. And like I say, Sunday can't come quick enough. And we had a little bit of snow today, didn't we? And we're just all conscious of the weather, and we hope, fingers crossed that the game's going to go ahead, because we really need it, and we're really looking forward to it.
Well, we've been looking at the weather forecast, obviously, from the Bulls' point of view. We've been looking at the weather forecast to make sure that we put on the event goes forward. It's looking promising. How is the big grumpy bear Baloo, the head coach Paul Anderson? How's the big fella been doing?
He's going all right, mate. He's actually, one of his New Year's resolutions was to be not as grumpy, which I've yet to see that, but fingers crossed it will appear in 2015. But in all seriousness, he's been great. The boys are ready. He's done a great job in preparing. We've done some stuff a little bit outside of the box that I won't go into. But I feel like we're as well prepared as we have been with my time at the club. I think our recruitment's gone really well. It's probably the strongest squad that Huddersfield Giants have ever had. The other thing is, we've got lots of homegrown players coming through, and the academy the academy at the Giants is as strong as it has been, so we're sort of reaping the rewards from that as well. So we've got some exciting prospects, we've got some seasoned internationals, and we've got a nice mix, and it's very exciting times at the minute.
I was talking to Jamie Ellis on the weekend. Obviously, the Bulls played against Castleford, and he was saying basically you guys have been flogging them.
Yeah, mate. We've looked at it from a kind of different perspective. The last couple of seasons, we haven't put a lot on the legs. They haven't done an awful lot of running. They've done sort of off feet conditioning in the gym and lots of wrestle tackle technique type stuff. But this time we just felt with the squad we had, it was necessary to get lots on the legs to run them an awful lot. And there's been some complaints along the way. That was our goal. Me and you back in 2006, 2007, our time at the Giants, we used to enjoy running.
No, actually, it was me on, just trying to keep up with you.
Yeah, all right.
Well, you can see with the back of your heels.
Thanks, mate. That means a lot coming from you.
Well, that's true.
We did feel it was necessary to run them a little bit with the forward pack, particularly that we've got. We need a bit more time out of them this year, and I feel we'll really get that with how they've prepared and how they've been conditioned by Greg Brown this year.
Now it'll be an important game for you guys this weekend. Paul Anderson in the local trades this week saying nobody is certain of a spot. You guys have strength and depth right across the park. So by the sounds of it, he's laying the mantle down to every single player in the squad saying you've all got to perform.
It is, mate. I agree with that, Rob. It's the first time that we can honestly say that, and the, certainly my time back at the club as a coach, that we have strength and depth, and we have competition in every single position. So no one can rest on the laurels. It's exciting that we've got it. They're going to have a couple opportunities, and I've got to say the boys that have impressed the most in training will get the start, and we'll get the opportunity first, because that's only fair. There are no loyalties. We've got a very talented group, and the good thing about it is that they all understand that too. They all know they have to perform. They all know that they have to perform not only in games but every single day in training. You know, they come there and they do their best every single time they go onto the training field. So I think it can only benefit the team as a whole as the season goes on, that as well.
Mate, what do you expect from the Bulls this weekend as they've prepared as a Super League outfit from the beginning, and what I viewed last weekend, that they are a stronger and better drilled squad than they were last year. Obviously, also, the Bulls played a game last weekend, so have a little bit more game time fitness under their belt. What are you going to expect from them?
Well, I certainly think Bradford will be better for having the game against Cassin. Although I haven't seen it, I took a point in knowing the team and stuff like that. The team, Rob, is, as you know, it's almost a Super League team. It is a Super League team, really, but only they're going to be playing in the Championship. So, you know, we're expecting a really tough physical contest, and I think obviously the weather's going to obviously bear some reflection on the styles of play that you'll see. Hopefully not too much, but unfortunately at this stage of the year, in the cold and the wet and the wind and the rain and stuff like that, so it's going to be a forward orientated game, and I'd expect kicking games to whoever has the best kicking game for that team to come out on top. You know, we're not focusing on the result. That's a cliche. We're focusing on the performance, but it's a relevant one. And we'll be looking to give a few people opportunities. We'll be looking to give people that haven't had a lot of game time over the last while. Certainly an opportunity to prove their worth. So we're excited. I think Bradford are going to be a really good team this year, if I'm honest. They should be favourites in the Championship, and we're expecting a really good hit out, which will benefit us going into the league season in a couple of weeks' time.
Well, you're excited, mate, and you've excited me with everything that you've been discussing and describing for this weekend's game. I can only thank you very much for being part of the show this evening. Take care, mate. I can say good luck, but not too much. Not too much.
Look forward to seeing you on Sunday, mate. You can buy me a drink, all right?
All right, pal. Well, I've got long pockets and short arms. Ladies and gents, that was Chris Thorman, Huddersfield Giants assistant coach. Looking forward to this Sunday's game on the 18th of January, 3 p.m. kickoff at the Providence Stadium between the Bulls and the Giants. Gates open at 1:30 p.m. Tickets can be purchased from the Providence Stadium or on the Bradford Bulls website at bradfordbulls.co.uk. Thanks again, Chris Thorman. And stay around, listeners. We'll be back soon. We'll hear more from the lads, and we'll be discussing all of the hot topics from the world of rugby league. All that and more coming soon.
The Robbie Hunter Paul Show with Provident, a Yorkshire business since 1880. Pulse One.
On 97.5 and 102.5 FM, DAB, and online at pulse1.co.uk. It's all about rugby. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse One.
You're listening to the Robbie Hunter Paul Show here on Pulse One. Now, don't forget, we want your views, so tweet us using hashtag RHP Show. Now, we've had some tweets. Now, we had this one from Odsel Sedberg, ARLFC, and they want us to discuss junior rugby. Now, it's interesting that they asked that because starting next week, we'll be taking an in-depth look at a local amateur club. So if you want us to feature your amateur side, then get in touch at pulse1.co.uk/RHP now. Not RHP now, just, sorry, pulse1.co.uk/RHP. But do it as soon as possible. The question that they actually wanted us to discuss was, how did you get into the game of rugby league? So how did you guys get into the game? Leon, you first.
All right, okay. When I was about 8 years old, my dad took me to Queensbury Amateur Rugby League Club, which is a very cold place, just on the mountains.
And windy.
Very windy, cold, icy, rain,
but where
snow.
Do you live?
I live just below that, Clayton. Yeah. So I took me there, and I've been playing rugby ever since.
I was a bit of a naughty kid, should we say. You know, like to get up to mischief, as I probably do now in the office, but with a little bit more dignity now. So I was trying to do a little bit of... I think I did a little bit of football. I think I did some boxing and did karate and nothing really that
kind of... You were that kid in class that got forced to do something physical to get rid of your energy, didn't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, I think...
There's always one.
I think
well,
if
the bully
I was...
as well.
No. If I was a kid now, they'd be giving me tablets for, like, ADHD or something like that. Do you know what I mean?
So they'll give you tablets, all right. They should give you tablets now, anyway.
Yeah, they probably should do. So I got into rugby just through trial and error, and one of the lads at school who used to kind of... He was never any good at any of the games and stuff, but he used to come in every weekend or every Monday and bring a trophy in and stuff, like top tackler, and what have you won that for? And he said, oh, I do it playing rugby. And I thought, I'm going to be better than you then. So I joined rugby, and that was it, just to kind of vent when some anger.
You are a pink elephant man, aren't you?
I just wanted to... Yeah, I just wanted to kind of... He used to come in... I mean, he was only 9 years old, and all girls used to fancy him and stuff, and I thought, I can have a bit of that. Never really got to that point where the girls fancy me, but do you know what I mean? I'm still aiming there, mate.
Now, you've got a little thumbnail to share with us. We've been trying to... listeners out there, if you've got a queasy stomach, I ask you to turn away now, but me and Leon have been trying to talk Rob out of doing what he's going to do in a couple of weeks' time. Rob, share.
Yeah, it's kind of rugby related, but it's starting to get personal. I snapped my finger a couple of times, and I had an operation on it. Didn't really work that well. Went back to the surgeon.
Snapped your finger playing
yes,
rugby.
Yes, playing rugby. So anyway, the
that's
second...
the only way this story is related to rugby, isn't it?
So I went to see the surgeon second time. He said, right, it's pretty knackered, the joint of the finger. I can fuse the finger together. So they cut my finger open and they put like two metal plates to join the bones together so I can't bend my finger. So that was all right. And I got a couple more years out of playing in, when I was over at Lee Centurions. Anyway, now I'm tired. Now I don't play rugby. My finger gets in the way all the time. Like, I know there's going to be a pun here from the Lancashire side of things, but even put my finger in my hand in my pocket, I can't do it properly. I'm now, as you keep alluding to, putting a little bit of timber on. So I want to start boxing. I want to start doing some wrestling or any kind of those Neanderthal things that I look like I should be doing. So I've gone to the surgeon.
Well, I'm gonna break in here because obviously we know where this is going.
This is the big bit now. This is the juicy bit.
So you've gone to the surgeon. I mean, I think you can leave it at that. Leon, you got to agree with me. This is an extreme way to lose some weight.
There's nothing losing weight, this, by the way.
You just said it once, as you keep alluding to. I'm putting on some timber.
I want to lose weight by training, not by what's coming.
You need to tell him what's going on.
I'm going to have my finger amputated.
Oh, now it's wrong.
It's not wrong.
It is just wrong.
This is what people...
Even when we were walking out of the studio last week, guys...
Don't do it, Rob.
He even had the idea. What he'd do is he'd save the finger, set up a Twitter account for it and send it on journeys around the world, kind of like Emily's the movie where they send the little garden gnome out and gets pictures from around the world.
When you see people pinch a garden gnome and they send it to like Las Vegas or have pictures with famous people.
That was from their movie Emily.
Right, well, I want to kind of set a Twitter account up for the finger.
No, talking about Twitter, let's really do something proper on Twitter. Let's set up a Twitter poll. We want to know, off or on, should he keep the finger? Remember, that's a finger gone for life, not just for Christmas. It's a finger gone for life.
Well, this is not a joke. This is dead serious.
It's that serious that I'm actually booked in for the operation on the 27th of January, so okay, I can weigh the pros and cons
This is we're going to keep it as simple as possible. We just want listeners out there, hashtag RHP show on, or hashtag RHP show off. And we'll count them up. We'll let everyone know next week what the general consensus was.
And it's
for the rest of your life.
I know, but it impedes me all the time. Do you know what I mean? I've got a modelling contract for a glove company and stuff like that. And I can model.
Let's have done with it. Just take it off, man. Get it off. Whip it off.
Leon's on the team.
We're going to go to some of the hot topics.
Get some t-shirts made. Team finger off.
Right, we're going to look at some of the hot topics going around in the world of rugby league this week. Tony Smith, once again, outspoken about about the new system. In his words, he's sceptical. He still says some people have changed and some people are a bit fearful of it. I'm probably in the second category. Now, we're talking about the brand new system of the 212s going into 3.8s. Your guys' thoughts on that? Obviously, this is an ongoing. I'm on board. I like the idea. I'm excited by it. I think I have to embrace it because we're in it now. But your guys' thoughts on it? Keeping into concept that this sport foundations is all about change. Remember, it used to be rugby union. It changed. The reason why it became rugby league was because it evolved out of rugby union in 1895. So.
I'd probably echo what he has to say, what Tony Smith has to say. I think more or less on the same lines. Obviously, we've got to be positive about things and try and get this competition up and running and try and get people interested in watching the game. But I'm a bit sceptical, if I'm honest.
Rob Parker?
I think, I don't know. I mean, if I was a player, I'd be sceptical of it because I know we spoke a couple of weeks ago, Leon, saying that, you know, you could sign a contract with a club and then that can become null and void. Now, from a Bradford Bulls perspective or from a Championship perspective, it's been a close shot for a number of years now, hasn't it? You know, there's no promotion and no relegation. Obviously, Bradford Bulls have been relegated. This is our clear-cut chance to get back into Super League, where I think that Bradford Bulls rightly belong.
All right, you heard it here. I'm for it. I am. I like the idea of it. I am the type of person that likes to embrace change, providing that it's good. The skepticism about how it works out. Obviously, both Rob and I are no longer players, so we don't have the fears of working from a year-to-year contract, which basically are what these Super League contracts, Championship contracts reflect. So fully appreciate the argument from the player's point of view. Also, from a spectator's point of view, that jeopardy all season long with it. Every game matters, and then when it turns into the 3.8s, again, it matters still, is what I'm excited about. There's an element of me that's a little bit, it's unknown,
which is unpredictable,
which is one of the things what sells sport in the first place.
I think from my point of view is, I've been watching the game now for the past 20 years or so, since probably 96, 97 when you were playing, that I can remember when Super League came in. Now, for me, 20 years later, what have you, as the game actually moved forward, how do we make the game move forward? Because the product on the field is always the same. It's always good. We've got good players. We've got a good competition. But how do we sell our game? Because all we seem to do is restructure the league. All we ever do to look for improvement is restructure the league, bring playoffs in. Let's change it. We're going to do another type of playoffs. And is that making the game better?
Well, I mean, I think I like the fact that the RFL have thought outside the box. They want to, you know, we can't be competing against football in a kind of, you know, attendance way. The way that they've been innovative, and I've said that quite well, is the fact that they have brought the playoff system in. That was something in the first few years. There was knockers and there was people for and against. Now, we look at how it is now. It's a given now, and people have adapted to that. Let's look at the Millennium Magic, or what was known as the Millennium Magic Weekend. Again, poorly attended to start off with. Now it's one of our kind of, you know, poster events. It's one of our prime events that gets put on. There's going to be a few people, I think, that are not liking it, and maybe those are going to be the teams that have, you know, Wakefield, for example, or teams that haven't consistently performed in Super League. They're not going to like that. But I think given time, as it's proven with the other events the RFL have put on, I'm all for it.
All right. Now, discussions for both sides of the argument are going to continue throughout the whole of this season. I think the real evaluation is going to be taken at the end of the year. We'll see whether or not it's worked. All right. Coming up next, we'll continue to talk all of the hot topics in rugby league. We'll also look ahead to this weekend's upcoming friendlies. So don't go anywhere. You're with RHP on Pulse 1.
The Robbie Hunter Paul Show with Provident, a Yorkshire business since 1880. Pulse 1.
The latest news and the opinions that matter from the world of rugby league. The Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse 1.
Welcome back to the Robbie Hunter Paul Show here on Pulse 1. We are continuing on with our look at all of the hot topics across rugby league, including yours, the supporters, and we'll also look at this weekend's upcoming friendlies across West Yorkshire. Now, we had this question from Stu Sater from Twitter, and I guess this one's probably the best answered by you, Leon. The biggest challenge moving to a new team. Obviously, moved from Catalans to Hull FC this year. You know, there must be a level of sort of fear when you walk into it. Yeah. You know, you're such a big name. Yeah. You're not just an average player coming into a squad. Yeah. You're someone with a lot of expectation on your shoulders.
I think I can only speak from my own point of view, from my own experiences. I think for me, the first thing is to gain the respect from your fellow players. That's by acting in a decent manner and showing that you're there to do a good job.
So you failed on that one. So what was the second one?
Just show that you still, obviously, because I'm knocking on a little bit as well, it's probably still show that you've got a lot left in you. On the training field, still be able to show that you've, you know, the things that you named, you made your name of, you can still produce them on the training field.
To a certain extent, it's leading by example.
Yeah. Just showing that you can still play, I think, gaining respect from your new teammates.
No, actually, in saying that, we're talking about leadership here, because obviously, at your time in your career, 33 years of age, and you're one of the only players that actually tells his true age. Yep. 34 this year. Everyone starts to go, well, actually, not with that black eye, but everyone seems to get a year younger with every year they get older. But actually, you're proof in the pudding. So, talking about leadership, Rob, what have you been up to today?
Funny you should mention that. It's actually quite a seamless link, that, Robbie. We've been doing, I'm now officially, I've got a certificate to prove that I'm a manager now. Obviously, I'm the commercial manager for Bradford Bulls, but both you and I went on a managerial and leadership course today, didn't we?
Yeah, it was good. It was interesting. Ripley Training?
Yeah, it was Mike Smith over at Ripley Training.
So, you know, the elements of leadership, you saw them from a rugby playing point of view. Leon, what do you perceive as great leadership tips from the professional sporting environment, the team environment?
I think probably just leading by example, not particularly speaking by example, probably more leading.
Sure.
Yeah, let your actions do the speaking for you. Everybody can talk, but not many people act on them on that talk.
It was really good, actually, because obviously there was a couple of other members of staff as well that were in on this training, and obviously we've never had any managerial type training in an office environment, but because of, you know, what we've achieved and being leaders on the field and stuff, there was a lot of kind of transferable skills. One thing I'm going to come on to quickly, Robbie, you might not know this, but I was making quite a lot of notes in the meeting, and I kept kind of jotting things down, but I've been playing Robbie Hunter Paul Bingo today.
What is that?
Robbie Hunter Paul Bingo. You've got a certain couple of words that you say on a number of occasions. One is your favourite, which is rationale, of which I can give you the stats. You said that 7 times today.
Get in.
Objectives, you said 6 times. And I'm pretty annoyed.
So obviously we can tell that was a waste of time for you today. You've absolutely paid no attention to the trainer. You've just been listening to what I've been saying.
And you've said target audience 4 times now. I thought you might have got that up. Just going on a couple of stats in the Robbie Hunter Paul Bingo and the Pulse Show, you've said Hot Topics 9 times as well today.
Right, Hot Topics.
There you were. This is how I get my kicks these days.
That's new hashtag Hot Topics. Now, before we go any further, and as it's sports night tonight, let's get across to the Corowindows Stadium where the Pulse One sports team are in place for tonight's FA Cup game between Bradford City and Millwall. Jason and Ian, are you there?
Yeah, Jason's here. I'm enjoying the banter at the moment, Robbie. I tell you what, it's a lot warmer in the studio than it is here at the moment. It is cold, it is wet, it's very breezy as well.
Well, I've got a big Bradford City fan sitting with me. Actually, Leon Price. I'm actually, after we come from the studio, we're dropping him up at the stadium. Is it a confident Bradford City we'll see tonight?
Yeah, well, there's a massive incentive. I'm sure Leon will realise that if Bradford win tonight and they're taking on Championship opposition, they've just got the small matter of going to see Chelsea at Stamford Bridge. So a big crowd's expected tonight. They probably won't fancy the Championship side tonight. They're in West Yorkshire. It is wet. It is windy. And Bradford, of course, are fired up because they were beaten in the last minute at the weekend. So loads to play for. We've got full match commentary from 7 o'clock. It could be quite a night. We do like a cup run, don't we, here at Bradford City, Robbie?
All right, thank you very much, Jason. Enjoy the evening.
And you. Enjoy the rest of the show.
Thank you. All right, Leon, you must be pumped.
We're welcome. I can't wait.
West Yorkshire's welcome Millwall with that typical West Yorkshire weather.
Living over in France, I thought once I get back home, I'm definitely going to go and start watching City again because I missed quite a few big games. I missed them playing at Wembley and so on. So my next door neighbour, Russell and Kirsty, they're going tonight and I'll be going and sitting somewhere near them and cheering on the boys. Come on, Bradford.
Go on, Bradford. All right, now, back to the Rugby League Hot Topics.
That's 10.
touched him. Fui Moi Moi, he touched down, I think it was last week in Lee. Massive news for the town itself.
Whistle stop tour for Big Fooey. I feel like I know him already. I know he landed in England, I think, Tuesday, and then they flew out to their warm weather training camp on Wednesday in Lanzarote.
So that shows you how seriously Lee are taking this championship competition and the promotion up to the Super League.
Yeah, they've really heavily invested in the squad. Obviously, you know, attracting the name of Fooey Fooey Moi Moi to the club is massive for the town. Kind of kept my finger on the pulse with, you know...
No pun intended.
Yeah, with the... with what's been going on and all the hot topics, but they actually did a really nice welcoming some ex-players who now reside in Lee, who've played, who are Tongan descent, as which Fooey is. They kind of had a bit of a dance off. They all put skirts on and do all those kind of things that they do over in those countries. I'm not being disrespectful.
I didn't know that Lee had a big Tongan.
Do you remember the player called Lee Hansen?
Lee Hansen.
Yeah. Well, it's him and his family. And there's a couple, there's another guy called Tau Liku who also played for the club. Tau Liku, I think Lee have been smart how they've kind of tapped in to a little bit of that Tongan heritage that's knocking around in
there's
Lee.
There's a danger with that though as well.
What, they go missing and for weeks?
No, well, not that they go walkabout, but... The tongue is like your food. They can eat, man.
Yeah, so, I mean, I think that, you know, next thing you know, they'll be doing hungies and all the other kind of thing.
Well,
and drinking carver and all that kind of stuff. So, I think, you know...
Bring a little bit of culture to the game.
The Fooey Fooey Moi Moi phenomenon has certainly hit Lee, and they're running with it.
I think it's going to be nothing but exciting for the competition itself, and especially their first up game against Bradford. So, looking forward to this weekend's friendlies. Leon.
Yes.
FC play Hull KR.
Big
the
game.
The derby.
One of the reasons that I actually signed for is to get back playing in these big derby games. And
rather than the Catalan London
one. Yeah, well, exactly. Say no more. So for the last 3 years, I've been playing in, you know, I'm probably missed out on some big games, but this is going to be a new experience for me, even though it's a friendly. I think they're expecting around 15, 16,000 there. So
good crowd.
I can't wait.
So... Both teams, both squads are going to come out all guns blazing.
Well,
everything to play for, because obviously it is a friendly. But what does that mean?
It's not a friendly. It's like when we play against Leeds, it's never a friendly, is it? We don't like each other, do we? So it's not different.
Let's not beat around the bush.
Let's not beat around the bush. I know Radders is proper fired up. He's been drinking Red Bull and coffee all week. He's proper, but he's really looking forward to it. He's going to be demanding nothing but 100% from each player. So it's going to be a massive game.
Well, we wish you all the best. We hope that you stay safe throughout the game. Don't come up with another eye to match that other one. Other friendlies taking place this weekend. We've got Batley facing Featherstone, as we said before, FC facing KR. Donny face Castleford. Local derby between Leeds and Hunslet. That's an interesting one.
I think that's their feeder club, isn't it?
Yeah, Hunslet kind of partner them, don't they? Because obviously they're coming up through the ranks, being a locally based geographical team. I think it might be more of a money spinner for Hunslet.
And the final game, obviously, the Bulls versus Huddersfield. How do you both see that going?
I'm looking forward to that game. I think, obviously, with the Bulls squad being basically a Super League squad and Huddersfield being up there as, you know, favourites this year, then it should be a good test for the Bulls and a good test for Huddersfield.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. I think Bradford had a good game last week in the Andy Litz testimonial game, so that's been pretty good. And I'm just hoping that the Bulls carry on with that kind of continuity and really take it to Huddersfield.
All right, that's it for this week. My thanks to our phone-in guest, Chris Thorman, the Dream Teamers, Leon Price and Rob Parker, and to all of you for listening at home or in your cars. Make sure you join us next Wednesday. Pulse One Sport is next here on Pulse One. I'm Robbie Hunter-Paul. Thanks for listening, and make sure you enjoy your lives, love your families, and live your rugby. See you next week.
This is the Robbie Hunter-Paul Show on Pulse One. Every Wednesday evening from 6. The Robbie Hunter-Paul Show with Provident, a Yorkshire business since 1880.